In our last session, we learned about the new birth. Along with that new birth, there are two aspects of remission and forgiveness of sins. In many parts of Christianity, everybody puts all their emphasis on how much people sin. God, however, puts his emphasis on how wonderfully and completely Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. It's a whole different approach. First thing in this category to understand is the difference between standing and state. Our standing before God is always sonship. We are his children. We are born again. That never changes. To review from the last session, let's look at these two scriptures. Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we're born again, saved, new birth. And in 1 Peter 1:23, it's stated again, as we read a few moments ago, in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That is our standing. It is always one of a son. Remember when we read in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, that we're more than conquerors? That's because we're God's children and we can't change that. Nothing can change that. We're not servants that can be fired if we don't do a job. We are God's children. But the state can change. Whether or not we're getting along with God or not, that can vary. Like in your family. You are your parents' children whether they like it or not. But some days you get along with them. Other days you don't. Some days you get all the extra privileges because you've done what's expected of you. Other days you haven't done what's expected of you and you may have penalties or you may have privileges withheld from you because you are not in fellowship, you're not in agreement, you're not in alignment and harmony with your parents. It's the same with us. Our sonship before God never changes. But if we're in alignment and harmony with God, we get tremendous answers to prayer. If we're not in alignment and harmony with God, we're not confident, we're unsure, because we're just not dwelling on God's Word, we're not thinking of God's Word, we're very uncertain. God still loves us, we're still His kids, we just don't have the confidence to pray with believing because we're out of fellowship with God, we're not in alignment and harmony with His Word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 talks about this. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, I don't think that's the verse I wanted. Oh, yeah, it is. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to, but that actually was going to be down in the, well, it's okay. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is what? With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship we want to have, where we have full sharing with God, we're in alignment and harmony with His will, and life is wonderful. These things write we unto you, verse 4, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is what? No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because if we're walking in darkness, if we're living contrary to God's Word, we're not in fellowship with Him. We're still born again. We haven't lost our sonship, but we don't have that fellowship with God because we're not walking in the light. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we say we're perfect, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't get born again by confessing sins. We get born again by confessing the Savior from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then if after getting born again, we walk away from God's Word, which we all do from time to time, we're not perfect, the way we get back into alignment and harmony with God is simply say, Father, I'm sorry. Doesn't say you have to tell me, doesn't say they have to tell anybody else. Just go to God and say, Father, I'm sorry. And then that wonderful alignment and harmony, that wonderful fellowship with God is restored. So look what it says here on your notes. Confession unto salvation, where you confess Christ as your Savior, believing God raised Him from the dead, that's also called repentance. We receive remission of sins with the result that we have sonship. Then when we confess our sin, which can also be called broken fellowship, where we're simply not walking in the light of God's Word, we receive forgiveness of sins, and the result is we once again have fellowship with God. You'll have days in your life where just life is wonderful, it's sweet, you have great peace, you have great confidence, you're meditating on God's Word, life's great. Then you'll have days where you get all distracted and forget all about it and get all negative and life seems miserable. Then you realize, wait a minute, I forgot to focus on God's Word. You just say, Father, I'm sorry, I forgot all about you. I know you'll take care of me. And then you're back in fellowship with God, and that wonderful peace of God comes back into your heart. Look at some other things here. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 4. Thank you. I was just noticing that was the wrong verse. Who, speaking of Jesus Christ, His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. The tree, the cross is sometimes referred to as a tree. The tree is sometimes referred to as a cross. There are places in ancient literature where you see a cross with a crossbar on it. There are places where you see a cross just as a tree, where the hands were put up like this. So you see it referred to as a cross or as a tree, both referring to the same thing, where Jesus Christ was crucified. So who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, by His stripes, by His being beaten, His whiplashes, you were healed. So He took our sins in His body on the tree. See, He never sinned, so He had perfect blood, but He chose to spill it for us. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Look at Acts 10. Acts 10, verse 43. Acts 10, verse 43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. That's what we get in the new birth, when all the sins are just wiped out. Not through what we did, but through Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice for us. Through His name, the name of Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. This is a big deal. Because it says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. Nobody's perfect. And without Jesus Christ, our lives would result in nothing but death. But through what He did for us, paying for those sins, we now have eternal life. Which is why we don't spend all our time running around trying to figure out who sinned more or who goofed up more. The emphasis is on what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, with the result that we now have eternal life. That is so great. Let's go to Hebrews 6, verse 4. Great scriptures. And I'm just reading them to you. God put them in here. I didn't make this up. I just have the great joy of reading this to you and showing it to you in God's Word. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. People have said this and say, oh, you're born again, then you walk away from God, there's no way you can get back. Well, you can't renew them again to repentance, because to repent is to get born again. You can't get born again. You can get born again physically once, and you can get born again spiritually once. And you can't get born again. You don't have to get born again. To get born again and you walk away from God's Word, you just have to walk back to God's Word. You just have to go back and say, Father, I'm sorry, I'm a dumbhead. I should have believed your Word, now I'm going to do it. And He says, okay. And you're back in fellowship with God. Wasn't that complicated? Not at all. Galatians, 1 John 1. I think we read that, but let's read that again. We didn't read all that. 1 John 1, verse 3. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, full sharing with us, and truly our fellowship is with who? The Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You want to have fullness of joy? Have fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the other believers. That's where real fullness of joy is, according to God's Word. That's where it comes. And it's not complicated. It's just a matter of getting born again, putting God's Word on in your heart, and then being around others who also have God's Word in their hearts. This then, verse 5, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, according to the truth of God's Word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. We confess our sins, which, since we're already born again, is simply broken fellowship. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, if we say we're so perfect, we never do anything wrong, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. He wants them to walk according to God's Word, so they're blessed, and they have the wonderful benefits of believing God. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Boy, what a defense attorney. He not only is our defense attorney, but He paid all our legal fees with His blood. Isn't that neat? And He, verse 2, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we simply keep His commandments. Galatians chapter 4. A great section on remission and forgiveness of sins. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Galatians 4, 6. Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. That's Christ in us. He's put Christ in us, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but what? A son. And if a son, then what? An heir of God through Christ. Pretty good to be an heir of God. Right now, a lot of people would like to be an heir of Bill Gates or a lot of other people. And that would be okay. But how about being an heir of God? Because anything you got from Bill Gates, you could maybe use for 50 or 80 years. But what we get from God's good for eternity. Incredible. Romans 8. One more in this section. Romans 8 and verse 17. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We inherit the same level Jesus Christ does. Good. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So that's a little bit about remission and forgiveness of sins. Just as a reminder, our standing is sonship. We get that by simply confessing Christ as Lord. We receive remission of sins. Our state is fellowship. We stay in fellowship by walking in the light of God's Word. If we get out of fellowship by walking away from God's Word, we simply confess our sins, our broken fellowship, tell God, our Father, we're sorry. We receive forgiveness of sins, and we're back in fellowship with God. Now, how is it we stay in fellowship? We talked about walking in the light in 1 John. Let's read more about that. That gets into the category of the renewed mind. That's where we put on in our mind the thoughts that are in God's Word. You have to do that. People do that in many areas. You can have a very nice automobile that comes with a great maintenance manual, but if you don't take what it says in the maintenance manual and do it to the automobile or the mechanic or the dealer or somebody that's taking care of it, the car will fall apart. Same way with our new birth. It's incorruptible seed and we're not going to lose it, but if we want the benefits of that new birth, we have to put God's Word on in our minds. We have to walk in the light. And Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 talk about this. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want you to jump in front of a bus for Jesus. Jesus Christ gave His life as a sacrifice. He wants us now to be living sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And look at verse 2. And don't be conformed to this world. To be conformed to this world would be to give up on the battle of the senses. Just do what everybody else is doing, even if it's totally contrary to God's Word. We don't want to do that. Don't be conformed to this world, but instead, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word transformed is the same Greek word that metamorphosis comes from. You've all seen those things in science or maybe out in a tree in your backyard where a little wormy caterpillar thing goes in a cocoon and comes out as this beautiful butterfly. Quite a transformation, isn't it? From a little slimy worm to a big, beautiful butterfly. Well, that's how we are transformed. And we do it by the renewing of our minds. You put God's Word on in your mind and you won't know yourself. You'll be so dynamic, you'll be so full of peace, you'll be so full of enthusiasm and confidence. People will wonder, what happened to her? What happened to that guy? He doesn't look the same anymore. We are literally transformed by the renewing of our minds. So verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Doesn't mean we have to, you know, wear green hats and stand on our heads. We can be part of the culture we live in. But when it comes to the battle of the senses, we don't let the information we receive by our five senses take precedence over the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the thoughts we know from God's Word, the truths about Jesus Christ, and put it on in your minds. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. By the way, if you're interested in this, I taught a class last year called Peace of God and the Stayed Mind, goes into this quite a bit. I think it's on our website as well. Covers a lot more on this topic. You may find it worthwhile if you care to download and listen to it. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man true. Oh, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. Well, let's go back to verse 23, shall we? Might as well. We could start back in Genesis 1:1, but then we'd never get to s'mores. So we won't. We'll go start in verse 23. Romans 4:23, be renewed in the spirit or the life of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting on the new man is putting on the thoughts relating to the Spirit of God. That's the new man. The old man is just body and soul. The new man is the Spirit of God born within. So we put on everything about the new man, everything about the new birth, everything about having Christ in you, everything about having access to God in the name of Jesus Christ, everything about incorruptible seed, everything about being righteous. We put all that on. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, verse 25, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. The devil will take a place if you give it to him. Just don't give him any room. Notice with Eve, she entertained his thoughts. She came in and he said, is that what God really said? And she thought about it. She gave him place. And before you know it, he had her talked out of God's word entirely. So we just don't give place to the devil. We focus on God's word and give him no place. Let him that stole steal. No more let him labor working with his hands. No, that's not actually what it says. I better read what it says here. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Any negative words that would tear people down. You don't want to be tearing people down. You want to be building them up with God's word. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And to grieve the Holy Spirit of God would be to simply not put on the new man. Not put on the truth of God's word in our minds. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you ever wonder how much you should be kind to others, how much you should forgive others, just think about how God and His Son Jesus Christ have forgiven us and loved us. And that's how much we forgive others. Credible record. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind or these thoughts be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. Same thoughts Christ Jesus had. Read the Gospel, see the things he thought about. Read the epistles, see the things there it says about Jesus Christ. Put those thoughts on in your mind. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Colossians 3, 5. Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, various types of lusts and things, greed, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Just put that out of your life. In the which ye also walked in some time when you lived in them. Because these Colossian believers, they were just body and soul for a long time. Paul's saying here by revelation, for long parts of your life, that was your whole life. But now, verse 8, ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off what the old man, with his deeds, the old man of body and soul, who was losing the battle of the senses, because all he had was five senses. Put him off. And put on the new man. The born-again one that you are. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. where there's neither Greek nor Jew. The word Greek is used similar to Gentiles. Neither Gentiles nor Jews. Circumcision, that's the Jews, nor uncircumcision, the Gentiles. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. The big deal now is not what your background is, but that you got Christ in you and that you put that on in your mind. It's so simple. And the conclusion is written there in all caps, simply study the Word of God and live the Word of God. That's how we renew our minds. We put it on in our mind, we study it, we put it on in our minds, our minds are renewed, we walk in fellowship with God, we'll have the confidence to ask God those things that are available with believing and receive answers to prayer. That's how God wants us to live. Now, there are a few other things we should talk about some of our sonship rights. Now, there are many things we get in the new birth as rights of sonship. We'll talk about a few of them here. Some of them are listed here. Righteousness, we've talked about. That's when you're right before God. You have no sense of sin, guilt, or inferiority because things are right between you and God. Sanctification, that's where God sets us apart. We're sanctified, we're set apart. We're in a special relationship with God. Redemption, that's where Jesus Christ has paid for our eternal life with His blood. We've been redeemed because of His blood. Justification, somebody said it's just as if I'd never sinned. Justification, we're freed from the penalty of sins because we're righteous. And the ministry of reconciliation, we have the high and holy privilege of speaking God's word to other people to reconcile them to God and bring them back to God. Most people want to help others. They just don't know how to do it. Well, with God's word, we have the very best way to help others. Romans 5, verse 19. Romans 5, verse 19. Talking about Adam, who goofed up the human race, and Jesus Christ, who brought eternal life to it. Romans 5, verse 19, for as by one man, that's Adam, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made what? Righteous. It's one of the rights we have in the new birth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:30, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Look at all the great stuff that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Philippians 3, verse 9. Philippians 3, verse 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. In the Old Testament, they tried to earn their own righteousness by following the law, which none of them could do well enough to get born, to get righteous. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the believing of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. We simply get this by believing in what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. That's how we get our righteousness. It's a sonship right. Romans 4. Romans 4. Romans 4 and verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and we believed that, we're justified. we receive justification. It's just as if I never sinned. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but because Jesus Christ paid for everything, in God's eyes, it's just as though I were perfect. Incredible stuff. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by trying to carry out the Old Testament law, do you know even in the Old Testament, there were some people who God considered righteous, like Abraham? And do you know why God considered him righteous? It says that his believing was imputed unto him for righteousness. Even Abraham couldn't carry out the law perfectly, but he so believed God and so loved God that God treated his believing as though it were righteousness. Well, we have something better, where Jesus Christ paid for our righteousness, and we have it with incorruptible seed. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, or made evident, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? The faith of Jesus Christ. He believed God. He carried out his ministry. He paid for our righteousness. Now we just accept it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a payment through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance, the patience of God. Romans 5:1, here's a verse. I still remember being 16 years old, sitting home in a chair in our living room in Larchmont, New York. After school, I read this verse and I went into shock just about. Because I was so convinced that if I didn't follow the Old Testament law, I was going to fry somewhere. And I knew I wasn't perfect enough to follow it all the time. And then when I read this verse, I was shocked. I just stared at my Bible for the longest time. I still remember that moment vividly. Therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, not by our works, but by believing what Jesus Christ did, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got it. You have peace with God. People may tell you, God hates you. He doesn't. People may tell you, God will never listen to you. He will. People will tell you, you're too terrible and goofed up for God to have anything to do with you. That's not true. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got it. People want to get along with folks. Isn't it great when you get along with people? And it's sometimes sort of painful when you're maybe a good friend you're not getting along with for a period. You want to patch up that relationship and get along with them again. We all go through that. But those things always come and go. How much greater to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got it through what He did. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't wait till we were perfect and then die for us. He died when we were still ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, before we were even born again, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We don't go through any of that wrath in the book of Revelation. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And one more section here before we close for the evening. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Talks about the wonderful word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry is a type of service. To minister is to serve, to give, to help others. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, they're born again, they put on the Word of God in their minds. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us what? The ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile something is to bring two things back together. You have some and it breaks in half. You get some glue, you put them back together, and you reconcile the pieces. If the glue holds, it's as good as new. If it doesn't, guess you get a new one. But to reconcile is to bring back together. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he had the ministry of reconciliation. His job was to bring people back to God. Now we have it. All things, verse 18, are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's what God was doing by being in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Jesus Christ didn't come just to show people what sinners they were. Pay attention now. Jesus Christ didn't come to show people what sinners they were. He came to reconcile the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us what? The word of reconciliation. How are we going to reconcile people with God? By doing a tap dance? By getting their attention? By our personality? No, all those things are fun, but the thing that reconciles people to God is the word of reconciliation. We speak the word of God to people. We do it in love. We try to explain it the best we can so they understand it, but then it's up to them to either believe it or not. Jesus Christ reached many people, but a lot of people wouldn't believe him. And if Jesus Christ couldn't get through to people, there are some people you and I aren't going to get through to. But we don't worry about that, because if we keep speaking God's word, we will get to those people that do want to believe. Somebody spoke to us, and that's why we heard the word. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're what? Ambassadors for Christ. I know a guy who's trying to get a job as the ambassador for the United States to some organization in Europe where they talk about air traffic control. And it's the world's biggest deal, because he might be the ambassador from the United States for air traffic control. And that is a big deal, if you're into air traffic control. But how much greater to be ambassadors for Christ? To anywhere we go, be able to speak for Jesus Christ, speak the word of reconciliation, to reconcile people to God. An incredible privilege. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Even though he never sinned, he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The new birth is incredible. Along with it, we get remission of sins, and if we at any point get out of fellowship, we simply go to God and say we're sorry. We get the benefits of the new birth by renewing our minds and putting that word on in our minds, and at the same time we do that, we have to realize that we have incredible rights as God's children, incredible sonship rights. We're righteous, we're sanctified, we're redeemed, we're justified. And we have the ministry of reconciliation. We are truly ambassadors for Christ.